Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Conversations with David, with my excellent friend and co-host, David Icke, one of the champions for truth on the planet. Good morning, David.
Morning, Maria.
How you doing?
I'm good, yeah. I've had a summer in which I've been sitting in this chair since May, finishing a new book, and I've just about finished that now. So I'm just smelling a few roses whenever I get the chance before I kick off on some more talks around the world. So it's a busy year.
Right, for sure. Well, it's a busy world too. Let's not leave that out. You know, one of the stories I noticed yesterday was Mr. Macron saying, and Chuck Schumer, the New York senator, said the same thing. He actually congratulated Macron for saying that anti-Zionism is the same thing as anti-Semitism.
Yeah, well, you see, what is happening, and I've actually done a chapter on this in the new book, and therefore have researched and observed a lot about this subject. There is a phenomenon which came out of America called progressives. We didn't use that word here. Progressives are said to be the left in politics and the liberal left. Well, when you look at the definition of progressive and the definition of liberal, and you look at the behavior of progressives, then you are not looking at the same thing. I mean, if you look at the dictionary definition of liberal, I would fall into that definition because I believe in freedom of a lifestyle, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and the maximum freedoms possible. Mm-hmm. My only criteria is that they're not imposed on anyone else against their will. But the progressive movement is not liberal. It's a tyranny. And I say that in reply to a question about Macron, because all over Europe, leaders are coming to power. Macron's a classic, who promote themselves as centrist and progressive, when actually they are tyrannical. But the way it's done, you see, what they say is the far right are tyrannical, the far right are extreme, or ban the far right, smash the far right, smash the fascists. That's what you hear coming from so-called progressives. But the way it's being done, the way freedoms are being taken away, is not through open Nazi-like parties. It's being done through progressives who claim to be anti-Nazi. And so you will look at political correctness. Political correctness and the destruction and banning of more and more of the language, which Orwell predicted with his new speak, replacing old speak, where words that had meaning and the ability to express yourself in detail were replaced by words, this is what political correctness words are, words that actually have no power to say anything. Mm-hmm. And so political correctness, which is an incredibly Orwellian technique and process of getting the target population to silence itself. That's what the whole political correctness thing is about. And also, of course, the foundation of any tyranny, where the few control the many, is divide and rule. And what we've had up to this point, we've had races played off against each other. We've had the male and female played off against each other and so on. Income brackets played off against each other. Different labels played off against each other. But what we've got now with this political correctness and what goes with it, which is the constant dividing into smaller and smaller groups, the self-identity of people. I mean, when you get this LBGQ stuff going on, the way that a person, people are defining themselves, right down not just to their sexuality, but their little section of sexuality, as if we need to know that, we don't. But when you look at these labels of political correctness, these so-called minority groups, as they're called, they are dividing into smaller and smaller numbers. And what you get in the political correctness hierarchy is a process by which the smaller the minority, the higher they are in the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So at the bottom of the hierarchy of political correctness are white men, and they can transgress against white women. They're next in the hierarchy, basically. Then they can transgress against minorities and female expressions of minorities, and so it goes on until you get to the point where you get to the transgender level, which is, as I can see from my perspective, is currently the top of the hierarchy of the hierarchy of what I call victimhood. And therefore, transgender people at the moment, though give them time, can't actually transgress against anyone because they're at the top of the hierarchy. And I've got nothing against transgender people. I mean, everyone to their own. I'm talking about the way this works. Mm-hmm. And so if you break down the number of transgender people in the world, particularly in the Western world, it breaks down on average to around 0.6% of the population. And yet the language is being changed all over the place to accommodate the alleged sensibilities to that language of transgender people. Mm-hmm. We've just had, you know, the London Tube underground system. The workers there and announcers on stations have been told that they can't say ladies and gentlemen anymore. They've got to say hello, everybody, because it might upset transgender people. We're having around the world the words mum and dad and boy and girl mm-hmm. being phased out in some places, even phased out forcibly. You can't. That's not acceptable in this place. And so what is happening when you take all these things together? The language is being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. So you can't actually say anything in any detail. It's all kind of, we talk about groupthink, where people think as a group, but there's another level of groupthink, and that's perceiving everyone else in groups. You know, because of this hierarchy that I'm talking about, if you get to the extremes, and often not even to the extremes, of progressive political correctness, then basically, if you're a white man, you are tagged as basically all the same. Mm-hmm. And you'll get Muslim groups who are tagged all the same. And then you'll get transgender people who are tagged all the same. In other words, instead of looking at the person, whether they're transgender or Muslim or black or white or whatever, and saying, forget the race, forget the sexuality. What is this person doing? How does he behave? How does she behave? How do they treat people?
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? Etc. Which breaks down racial barriers and religious barriers, because what you're saying is, I am treating you as an equal human being. I'm not interested in your race or your religion or your sexuality.
Right.
I'm interested in you. I'm interested in what you do and what you say, and whether it's a positive thing in society and on other people, or whether it's not. But that is not what happens with political correctness and the progressive mindset. You are judged by the group you are designated to be in. So therefore, for instance, you can be a white man and be at the bottom of the pile in this political correctness hierarchy of victimhood. And you're just a bigot and a colonialist, you know, all that stuff that you get. But then if you're a man, a white man, and you decide that you're now a woman and you want to live as a woman, you go to the top of the freaking hierarchy then.
Mm.
Now nothing can be said against you.
Right.
And it's all groupthink. So, for instance, you political correctness cannot say that and highlight the fact that women in Europe are being sexually assaulted by migrants, because that's racist. But that's because migrants, through political correctness, are viewed as a group. Anyone with intelligence says, in every group of whatever you want to call it, any race, any color, any background, there are nice people, there are okay people, and there's some seriously unpleasant people.
Right.
Political correctness, with its group judgment, cannot, and progressives, absolutely, so the provisional progressives, particularly as I call them, they can't deal with this. They literally can't compute it. The fact that you can say, hey, that's a nice Muslim, lovely family, lovely kids, really like being with them, but that Muslim rapes women, right?
Right.
And it's so blatantly obvious. Mm-hmm. Let's look at people by what they do, but not by what they are. And what that is the ultimate non-racist approach, because you're looking at the person, you're not looking at the label.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why, because inversions are everywhere in this inverted world.
Right.
But people who, you observe people who are anti-racist, or call themselves anti-racist, and you'll see people who are obsessed with race. They're obsessed with racial groups. They're obsessed with perceiving them as in this victim hierarchy and all the rest of it. And all they see is race, and they have the nerve to call other people who are looking at people as individuals, not as groups, as racist. So if we bring this back to the question about Macron, and the claim that being a critic of Israel is now anti-Semitism, the Zionist mentality was a global expert. It wrote the book on how to manipulate so-called political correctness. It was involved in political correctness before political correctness officially existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that which runs this Zionism hierarchy is absolutely expert on manipulating what I'm talking about. So what you do, for instance, with political correctness is, every week, Every month, more and more words are squeezed out. There's more things you can't say, more things you can't do without having a Twitter storm and being abused with, you know, everyone the same abuse. You're a bigot, you're a racist, and all that stuff.
I got to tell you, David, I see that all the time, especially on social media, where people will say to me, oh, how can you say that? You know, especially if I use a curse word. All of a sudden, everything is taboo.
Yeah, exactly. And so what you get is the language is being squeezed more and more, and what we can say and do is squeezed more and more. And that is what we're looking at with Macron and Israel is a classic expression of that. You start out by saying that anti-Semitism is a hatred of Jewish people, and then you start picking off more and more of what people can say. Oh yeah, okay. Well yeah, okay. You can criticize Israel. Okay, that's not anti-Semitic. And then you pick off more and pick off more, and suddenly it starts to be. Because here's the common theme here. As I said earlier, political correctness is simply an elite a technique to get the population to silence itself, so the elite don't have to, because the population does it for them.
Right.
And this is what this thing with Macron and Israel is about. It's about silencing criticism of Israel.
Right.
By equating it with anti-Semitism. So, you know, all these techniques that have been used over the years in terms of silencing people and their any criticism of Israel was simply the forerunner of the wider political correctness that's going on now. And there's so many ironies, and one of them is that progressives who are driving this political correct agenda, claiming to be standing up for diversity, are actually destroying it. Like I say, there are inversions everywhere.
Right.
But they also claim to be against the less than 1% and the establishment, when political correctness is a creation of the establishment.
Exactly. Well, you know, here in the United States, what's really got people self-censoring is the amount of fear out there.
Yeah.
You know, ever since the election, I've never seen so much hatred on both sides.
Yeah.
Fear. People are afraid to, you know, even if you're sitting talking with some of your friends, I notice people are looking around to see who might be listening. The paranoia is off the charts in the United States.
Yeah, and it's happening here, Maria, and it's happening everywhere. And this is why I say, and this is why I talk a lot about the behavior of progressives in this new book, because it is absolutely fundamentally important, because it's not through the far right that this is being instigated. You see, if you've got a guy with a tiny moustache, goose-stepping down the street with his arm in the air, it gives you a bloody clue, doesn't it? It tells you there's something to look out for here. Mm-hmm. There's something going on. This is not good, right?
Right.
So you don't do it like that. You do it through people who present themselves as being about diversity. And about caring about people, and ironically, about caring about freedom, which is kind of how they convince themselves of that is shocking. But that's why it's being done through the progressives and not through the far right. The rise of right-wing parties is actually a smokescreen to increase the effectiveness and the numbers of in the progressive ranks.
Right.
And Macron is a classic progressive. He is a Rothschild banker. He's a complete creation of the Rothschild networks. If you had to put him in the political spectrum, you would put him well far to the right. But he's presented as the centrist candidate, because in the French election, you see, they had Marine Le Pen presented as the far right candidate. Every time you saw her mentioned in the media, it's far right Le Pen. Mm-hmm. And there's Macron. Little boy in short trousers, who is being presented as the centrist candidate. You see this all over Europe, centrist candidate. Mm. Because if you are, like I say, a very extreme establishment, what you would call the political right, you don't goose-step down the Champs-Élysées. You walk down there in a business suit, claiming that to be a moderate. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony Blair in this country, who has been responsible for the death and maiming of millions in the Middle East, and with Bush and those that controlled them, has triggered this catastrophe of death and destruction in the Middle East. He claimed to be a moderate. He was presented as a moderate. He's still being presented as a moderate. And, you know, this whole progressive mindset, this progressive movement, I mean, anything to the left now is called a progressive party or a progressive coalition. And anything to the right of Karl Marx is a fascist. You can see where the lines are being drawn. Mm-hmm. And they are being played like a violin, like an orchestra, by the very people they claim to be opposing.
Right.
So they, you know, behind political correctness and behind the global warming hoax to transform global society, which is again a progressive driven agenda, behind them are the less than 1%. You get progressives, they go on marches against globalization, which they say is a centralization of power, and it's the corporations, it's the 1%.
Right. Let me ask you this.
The same people will go on marches in this country demanding that the Brexit vote is overturned and we stay in the European Union, which is a centralized bureaucratic dictatorship. And in Brussels, alongside the bureaucrats, are 30,000 corporate lobbyists in residence. And so one of the things about progressives is that they're so extraordinarily uninformed, because they think they're different. They think they're different from the other side when they are a mirror of it. Because when you look at this range of so-called information that people get to form their opinions and their perceptions, you've got the right, say in America, they will watch Fox News and various other programs and newspapers, and then you get the progressives. They'll watch the CNN / MSNBC, New York Times, and all that. And yet, the New York Times and Fox News are actually on the same postage stamp. They're just, in terms of information and perception, they're just on a slightly different part of the postage stamp.
Right.
So although they think they're different, they get their information from the same networks, in effect.
Right.
In this country, you got the so-called right-wing newspapers, and then you got things like The Guardian and what have you, supposed to be the left-wing progressive newspapers. And when it comes down to the major issues, they're invariably agreed on so much. I wrote about it, this in one of my books, that you know, there's a common theme here. But let's take 9/11. The left-wing newspapers and the left-wing television stations, people like Rachel Maddow, they vehemently attack and often abuse anyone that questions the official story of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So does the right-wing press.
Right, they all do.
They all do. And then you'll take the so-called current affairs comedians, the satirists, you know, Jon Stewart and this guy Oliver they've got now, this British bloke, and others. And although they claim to be a kind of ridiculing and laughing at the establishment, again, they're all from a progressive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As you see on occasions with Bill Maher, with Jon Stewart, with all these people, you mentioned 9/11, the official story might not be 100% true, and they reacted exactly the same way as the right-wing media and the left-wing media.
Oh, yeah, I remember watching them.
Yeah, so basically you've got this postage stamp, which is an incredibly narrow band of perceived possibility. And although they might go from a different part of the postage stamp, the left wing and the right wing and the center are all getting their information from the postage stamp.
Right.
And therefore, basically, their foundation perceptions are the same.
Exactly. But what I noticed is, you know, I flipped from station to station. The only time I watched that is when I'm at the gym. And they had the same story, but their take on it is opposite. In other words, they have to please their viewers. So if you watch Fox News, it's going to be a pro-Trump take on a story. If you watch MSNBC, it's going to be a negative Trump view on the same story. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to talk about the same story all day. And there's like a million things happening in the world. David, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Justin Trudeau? Do you think he poses as a progressive?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think he is progressive. But as I said earlier, the progressive mindset is a tyranny. So Trudeau is pro-Israel. Trudeau is supportive of Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're all the same. Because, you see, on the key issues, I say to people, don't listen to what they say. Look at the outcome.
Right, what they do. Like with
what
regular
they
people.
Do.
Right, with people, too. When you were talking about labels before, you know I've done counseling for, you know, 40 years now. And what has amazed me is how a lot of my clients want to label themselves. You know, am I heterosexual? Am I a lesbian? Am I this? And they want to label their children, you know, do they have ADHD? And I always been telling people, why do you have to label yourself?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. That's what I was talking about earlier. You know, this long list of letters now. And given there's 26 letters in the alphabet, I'm sure they're not finished yet. These long list of letters describing endless subdivisions of sexuality and self-identity. That I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I think so, too, and it puts pressure on people, and it makes them unhappy. It creates a depression. They don't know who and what, and I'm like, why? How about we're just all sexual beings and let it go at that? Why is it anybody's business how you manifest your sexuality? To me, that's as personal as what you do in the bathroom.
Yeah, but it's this self-identity leads to identity politics. There's so many things that come from this. Once you become obsessed with self-identity and defining your self-identity with smaller and ever more detailed labels, you break into what now we have as a massive human political disease called identity politics. Identity politics does not say what is the fair, just thing for everybody. Who am I going to support politically who will do the best for everybody and seek fairness and justice for everybody? Identity politics says, who's going to do the best for me?
Right.
It's a me phenomena, and we live increasingly in a me world where it's all about me. And once you get into identity politics, you get into self obsession politics, where it's all about you. And what's right for everybody goes by the wayside. You see, in the political correctness hierarchy of victimhood and the political hierarchy of good groups to bad groups, that hierarchy doesn't care basically what happens to white men. It cares a little bit more of what happens to white women, but not that much more. And then you're going up the hierarchy. Away you go with people being judged in groups. So you won't say, hey, how about we support someone who says they're going to do best for everybody, irrespective of their color, creed, background, religion, who's going to treat everyone the same. They don't want that.
No, they want
the person that they think will do best for them personally.
Right, like a special
interest group. And ironically,
you
see, people in this progressive mindset will talk about austerity and financial fairness and the way politics is run by the rich for the rich. Yeah, but they'll take massive donations from George Soros, who is all of those things, of course, and basically controls the progressive mindset, not just in America, but in large parts of Europe as well. But let's look at that. You're against the 1% creating or dictating politics. Yeah, okay. So why is that? Well, because the people with the money, they get people into power in politics that are going to do the best for the people with money.
Right.
Right, okay. So why are you voting then? What's your criteria? And it will be, well, I'm going to vote for them because they'll do the best for me and my identity. So basically, you are looking for different things in terms of the outcome, in terms of why you want someone to get in because of what they'll do for you, compared with why financial tycoons want somebody in for best to do for them. But the mindset is still the same.
Right.
It's still saying, I want people in power who will do what is best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And all we've got to do to get through this and to break down this nonsense is to say, I want people in power making decisions. First of all, I want the whole population in power, but I mean political office, who are going to seek to do the fair and just thing by everyone, irrespective of race, background, color, sexuality, or any of it.
Right.
And that's why I'm going to do it. And instead of, and it's the same transformation of approach, instead of judging people by their group and where they are in the hierarchy, I'm going to look at people as individuals and see what they do and say, rather than know what they look like and what their label is.
Right.
And if we did that, then all this stuff would fall. But that's the last thing the hidden hand, dominated by the 1%, actually want to happen. What they want to happen is what is happening and what progressives are making happen, which is to censor people who are challenging what the 1% want to happen, and to make sure that the 1% get what they want.
Right.
So the 1% want us to believe in human-caused global warming because they want to use that as an excuse to transform global society to fight global warming. And the progressives are helping them do it while protesting against the less than 1% or the 1%. It's a choice.
Absolutely.
And if you look at the definition of the word liberal, then if we acted in that sense, i.e., maximum freedom for everybody to express themselves and to have their own opinion, then we would have real diversity. We'd have a diversity of opinion. In fact, we could have 7 billion plus diversities of opinion.
Right.
But that's actually being deleted.
Well, yeah, you
day
can see
after
it.
Day after day, where the range of opinion is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And unfortunately, what comes with me, what comes with identity politics is an arrogance and an ego, and what I call the arrogance of ignorance, whereby you are arrogant enough to believe that you know it all, but at the same time ignorant of what's actually happening in the world. It's a devastating combination.
Yes, it is. David, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. David and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Leah's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, I'm speaking with David Icke. If you're not familiar with David's work, please get over to his website, davidicke.com. And you can surf through his site. He's got lots of news. He's got a great YouTube channel. I watch it regularly. And, of course, all his books are excellent. David, I want you to know, David, that this is your first appearance on my 18th year of doing this show today.
Whoa. Yeah, it's been a long road to get this far.
I know, 18 years. I'm like, oh my God, I never thought I'd still be doing this, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, and it's amazing how far we've come in terms of the number of people who are looking at the world differently. But at the same time, how far we've come in another way along the road that some of us have been warning against for a very, very long time. And I do see a very clear parting of the ways happening as people begin to look at the world and question the world in a way they haven't before. But on the other side of this is that I'm seeing lots of people as well becoming more and more consumed by the system mentality to the point where they have no capacity for free thought whatsoever. And
that's scary. It's scary to watch.
Well, you look at it and you can see how far the mind control, because that's what it is, mass mind control, you can see how far it's gone when people no longer have the self-awareness. This is what it is. You see, the more people think as groups and think in groups, the more they lose self-awareness. They lose individual self-awareness and become a group awareness. And the group is like a massive number of fish, where they're all swimming as one unit.
Right.
And when the people at the front move, everyone else moves the same instantly. And once you lose self-awareness, individual awareness, you can't see what you would otherwise see. I'll give you an example. The number of times I have seen anti-Trump supporters holding up banners saying love Trump's hate while having hate all over their face and shouting abuse. Now, any kind of self-awareness would have the capacity to see that contradiction. They would have the capacity to see that hypocrisy. But they don't. They don't because they are conceding their individual self-awareness for group awareness. And the more you get consumed into the group, the less you have an individual opinion, an individual anything.
Right.
The group and you become the same thing. And therefore, your opinion is the group's opinion.
Right.
This is one reason why in these so-called Twitter storms, people kind of move as one unit, like a shoal of fish, against someone who's transgressed against the groupthink.
Oh, yeah. You get attacked right away if you come out. You step out of line, you get attacked right away. I wanted to ask you, though, with what we've been discussing and what you've been talking about today, don't you think that the isolation of the internet, I believe that, to me, the internet, everybody's gadgets, their phones, have added to the isolation of the individual too?
Oh, sure. I mean, this is what it's about. I'll keep using the same word, but it's so applicable because everywhere you look, you see it. Inversion. Social media was supposed to bring people together. It's actually isolated people. You also fall into this whole groupthink through the internet. And one of the great, not even just a symbol of this, but a symptom of it, an expression of it, is that because of the way internet giants now track your movements and through algorithms note your surfing history, it means that if you go onto YouTube, it will offer you not YouTube videos that have just become available or new ones or anything like that. It will basically offer you videos based on your surfing history.
Absolutely.
In exactly the same way, you go to a website or maybe you look to buy something, and then you go back to another website and suddenly you're seeing adverts for what you've just looked at buying.
Absolutely. I see that all the time. This
means that less and less opportunity is being offered for people to see something that might make them think outside of what they currently think about, because all they're seeing is related to what they're currently thinking about. This is another part of this whole groupthink phenomena, which is, we talk about isolation. It's not just isolation of the individual, it's isolation of perception. So that there is less and less interaction with perceptions that might challenge yours. And, I talked there about at the arrogance of ignorance, the idea that whatever we believe and perceive in the moment is unchallengeable and unexpandable is ridiculous. But this is what this mindset does. It basically decides how things are, and all it wants is constant confirmation that it's right about how things are. This breaks out into another aspect of this, which is the control of university campuses in America, Britain, and increasingly further afield around the world, by using things like safe spaces, which means that anyone coming to the university to say anything and express an opinion that's different from the groupthink, they have to be banned, or there has to be a protest against them, and we have to have violence in the name of peace. I love it when, you know, they say, oh, some right-wing speaker's coming, he's a fascist, so what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to smash the place up. Oh, well done. Yeah, that's peace. Yeah, that's great. Let's have a riot. That'll bring peace to the world. And of course, you know, we saw what claims to be a progressive mindset. Of course, it isn't. Not progressive in the way they think they like to claim it is. In Hamburg, Germany, a couple of weeks ago, at the G20.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
When all those people that call themselves Black Bloc and Antifa, anti-fascists, they just want to fight and create mayhem and violence, smash up businesses of people who have done them no harm at all. People struggling to themselves. Set light to a few cars, let's have a fight, throw bottles at the police, yeah, and all that stuff. And you know, first of all, the world is going to change by an exchange of information. If you think about this, how does the world change? Anytime. It changes through an exchange, for the better, I mean. Uh-huh. It changes through exchanges of information that give people of a certain perception a different perception. And as the perception changes, so there is more support for changing what the previous perception was supporting. So the world changes. But how much information was and is ever exchanged by people with black masks and black clothes throwing bowls? There's no information exchange at all. There's just the perception that everyone who is challenging the establishment is like them. So therefore, we better support the establishment a bit more, because otherwise they'll take over.
But David,
so
how many
creating the opposite of what they claim to stand for? And of course, if you look at the Hamburg example, who remembers the majority of peaceful protesters at the G20 and what they were protesting about? No one remembers any of it.
Right.
It was all drowned out by people throwing bottles with black masks on. So we are seeing the infantilization of universities through political correctness, safe spaces, and banning anyone that says anything different to you, while saying that you're in favor of diversity.
Right.
And we're seeing the infantilization of protest now.
Well, wouldn't you say some of those protesters are paid provocateurs?
Oh, 100%, 100%. But what you've got then is the unstreetwise people that follow them,
right?
And just add to it,
right? The lemmings. But David, how many?
I was in New York during the Occupy Wall Street protests for about 3 days.
No,
when I was in there among the protesters in that park, there were New York police dressed as protesters then. I mean, one of them was identified and ran for it, ran behind police lines with his in his protester clothes and his backpack. So this, of course, happens all the time. And this is the other point about this self-indulgence of the progressive mindset, not the liberal left. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this progressive mindset as anything but liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually doing the opposite of what you say you support.
Right.
Because why does the establishment put provocateurs in amongst them to encourage and generate violence? Because violent protest suits them. It gives them more and more excuses to increase the power of the police state, because we've got to do something about these violent protests. Mm-hmm. So this is why, you know, I use the word infantilization, because we need maturity, and we need some wisdom, and we need some streetwiseness to meet this challenge, but we're not getting that from this progressive mindset. We're getting childish self-indulgence,
right,
and ignorance that believes it's intelligent and believes it's different because it gets its information and perceptions from a slightly different part of the postage stamp than those it's opposing.
Right. But David, for how many years have you been teaching? Because I certainly, you know, say it over and over again. Non-participation. I mean, people don't understand if they don't participate in this madness, if they don't participate in these wars, these illegal things, it would all come crashing down in no time.
Absolutely it would. And of course, by going the violent route, they're participating. Protesting with anger and abuse against another group, whatever that group may be, you are participating. It's one of the things I've looked at, I've gone into in the book, because, you know, the world, because it's actually a simulation on the level that we experience it, it's an electrical system, and you can see the electrical system and the vibratory system all over the place. And what happens is that you have the protesters. So I'm going to take a simple example. You've got the violent protest, and then you've got the police, you know, often being violent themselves in response. And basically what you've created is an electrical system, mm-hmm, where both sides are empowering the other.
Right.
And it's like a standing wave going nowhere, where each side is empowering the other while claiming to oppose the other. They need each other, right? They need each other. They empower each other. If there's no police, then there's no one to fight. You know, I see these electrical systems everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Right and left, Muslim and Christian, all over the place. And the other thing is that these labels then break down into smaller units. So in the Muslim world, we have Muslims who fight each other because one is Shia and one is Shiite. Just they differ on the historical succession from Mohammed. And so they fight each other. And so there's another electrical system ongoing.
Right. Right.
Israelis and Palestinians, there's another electrical system, and they empower each other. Mm. And if people just withdrew, you know, I mean, if someone, that is an example, someone hurls abuse at you, right? You can get upset, and that now you've made a connection with them, and you've empowered those people by becoming upset by what they've said.
Right.
You can hurl abuse back. Now there's this another electrical system where abuse is empowering abuse, and the abuse gets louder.
Mm-hmm.
Or when someone shouts abuse, you can say, well, thank you for sharing that with me. Have a nice day. And just walk.
Right, walk
and,
away.
And now there's no polarity between which that electrical system can be created, because you've walked away. Your polarity refuses to be a polarity. It's walked away.
Mm.
It's not reacted, therefore not created this mutual empowerment,
right,
electrical system that I'm talking about. And if we can do this. And what you're doing by doing that is disempowering. You know, the person who's shouting abuse wants a fight.
Right.
He wants you to shout back and abuse back, because then he can abuse back, and then you can abuse, and then he'll abuse back. They want that. We've all met people who you meet and you think you're looking for a buddy fight.
Right.
And all they're doing is looking for an excuse to have a go at somebody. They want a fight. Well, if you give them what they want, then you've empowered them. Walk away. Or if not walk away, don't react. Oh, right, mate, yeah,
exactly.
Okay, fine enough.
Well, give them the reaction they don't expect, you know.
Yes, exactly, because you know, we've all had that experience.
Absolutely.
Where you see the power drain from them because they've got nowhere to go. Because,
mm-hmm,
because you're not setting up an electrical connection to them.
Right. Well, I'll teach you something, David. My listeners are familiar with it and my close friends. When people want to argue with me, and you can always tell when somebody wants to argue, I find that there's no sense arguing with somebody because all they really want is to be right. So what I'll just say, and it always works, it ends the argument, ends the discussion. I just look at them and say, you could be right. And if by saying you could be right makes them shut up, it's worth it. But in my head, I know they're not right, but I don't want to have that conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
David, we only have...
Someone gave me some good advice about 40 years ago. A simple question. What do you gain by winning an argument with an idiot? Nothing.
Exactly.
Because you can't... This is the point. You can't win an argument with an idiot because the idiot never knows when they've lost. And if you try, you just... And there we go. You create another electrical system and you empower the person that you really would not like to be with and you don't like what they're saying to you. But you're empowering them.
Absolutely.
Stop, walk away. Now, we can do this collectively. We can do this from the system collectively. We take its power away. You know, how are they justifying more and more imposition of the police state? They're justifying it by through electrical systems, where they say we must give police more power to cope with this, and cope with that, and cope with the other. What you can do is you can turn up in Washington or London, and you can hold banners with abusive slogans on against the establishment, against the system, and you can line up with police on the other side, and you can shout abuse at them, and they'll get more and more angry and aggressive to you, and now the electrical system's running, and you've got a power system at work. Or you can turn up and sit down without carrying any aggressive banners. Sit down and just open your heart.
Exactly. Or as John Lennon said, if you can just hold the sign saying peace.
Yeah. So if people did that, no aggression, no words necessary, just do that. You would see the power of the police lines before your eyes start to disintegrate.
Absolutely.
And start to be diffused. You've still made your protest, but you've not added to the power system.
Right.
And because you've done it peacefully and respectfully, the onlooking public will have sympathy, far more sympathy,
right,
with what you are saying. Because in silence, more can be heard than if you're throwing bottles at the police and you're just turning people off.
Exactly.
And what we have to do is use information to change perception, to overcome the biased information that is downloaded perception that's come from the system and the state. And therefore, we have to be streetwise about the way energy works, the way perception works, and of course these people are not, because they're postage stamp people. They won't go and look beyond the scientific norms or political norms, because they are children of that,
right,
that system. Until people step off the postage stamp and start to explore other ways of seeing the world and other ways of understanding reality, nothing can change. Nothing can change. It's impossible, because unless people change, the world can't change, because the world is us and we are the world.
Right. Well, I have to say, I highly recommend your book, The Perception Deception. Everybody needs to read it several times. And I want to thank you again, David, for being with me all these years.
Yeah, it's a long time now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We were young when we started doing this.
Oh, we still are.
I know. Well, you take good care, and we'll talk again soon.
Cheers, Maria. Bye.
Bye. David Icke. Check out his work. He's got a new book coming out. I think he said in November. I'm anxious for that. And of course, if you haven't read The Perception Deception, I highly recommend it. Tomorrow, Monica Sepulveda is back with me on the show. It's going to be a fun spiritual show. Two gals chit-chatting. You guys loved us the first time. If you have any specific questions or anything spiritual you want us to talk about, throw it out there in an email. Otherwise, we're going to do whatever we want to. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. See you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.